In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Oh yeah, it's time to Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10. Stillwater Avenue, Bangor, where they have a film for everyone in the family and the Bangor Drive-In. Alan Adams joining us in studio. And before we talk movies, I've said it to you face-to-face, in person, that kind of thing, but on the air, I want to tell you how absolutely awesome the Full Monty was.
Well, thank you very much. It was great to see you and Abby there, and I think people are really proud of the work that's been done.
It's
on
great.
This show.
Like, it's one of the best productions I've ever seen.
Yeah, just I think across the board, the performances are great, the music's fantastic, like all the production elements are on point. Like I think it's really a really well put together production, and a lot of people have worked very hard to make that happen. And the reality is, you got 1 week left.
Yeah.
It's 6 shows, because it's Wednesday through Sunday, and with 2 on Saturday. Like, well, that's
if
it.
If you haven't seen it, get to Penobscot Theater this weekend, Wednesday through Sunday, and see the Full Monty. You won't regret it. It's absolutely fantastic. Even if you don't get to see Alan naked, it's still really, really good.
Yeah. No. You do not get to see me naked during the show.
What?
Wink.
Ooh, hello, hello.
It might be the big finale on Sunday. Is that?
Yeah, who knows what I'm going to do.
Teddy Slaughter live.
The conversation has largely revolved around how I'm going to mark the occasion of losing the mustache.
Oh, no, don't. No, no.
Oh, no, it's definitely like the show will be over at roughly 5:45 on Sunday afternoon. By 6 p.m., it's going to be gone.
Oh, yeah, save it. Put it in a cup.
There have been discussions as to how to memorialize it. Facebook Live was suggested a possibility.
Yes.
Really putting the mustache removal out there into the world.
Very nice. All right, let's talk movies. You somehow managed to see a couple this weekend.
I did. We'll start with the one that I think is has proved to be surprisingly unappreciated, and that's The House. It's a movie Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler star as suburban parents who their kid loses a scholarship that she was going to use to go to attend Bucknell, and they need to come up with the money to pay for her college education, and so they wind up starting their own underground casino. Now, this movie has not been well reviewed. Like, it's gotten a lot of really, really poor reviews. It's one of those movies where it's like, you know, you watch the trailer and it's like, oh, this is kind of bland and inane and whatever. And then they didn't offer advanced screening for critics, and so it's like it's one of those things where you're like, okay, so this movie's not going to be very good. And then I went in, and I have to say, I disagree with the people who have been so hard on it. I think it's very different than the movie that you think you're going to get when you go in and, you know, when you see a trailer with Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler with that whole, you know, improvised, goofy, like raunchy vibe kind of thing. This movie is surprisingly dark.
Mm.
And in a way that's funny, but not in the goofy, like Will Ferrell making faces, you know, yelling for no reason kind of Will Ferrell. Like it's really a very interesting look at, and it sounds so funny. But there's a real honesty to the desperation that these people feel, both in terms of, you know, I mean, they're middle class parents dealing with the realities of paying for college. I think that's a very real thing that people feel. And it also deals with the, frankly, probably kind of crushing ennui that sets in when, you're approaching middle age, you're approaching, this sort of middle point of your life, the kids that you've spent your lives devoted to, they're making their steps into another direction, and you know, for some people, if that's all they have, like what happens next?
That's why I waited so long to have a child.
That's exactly right. They get the scholarship like pulled out from under them due to the shady machinations of the city councilman Bob, played by Nick Kroll, And that's the thing, too. There's a phenomenal cast.
Well, and one of my favorite character guys, and improv guys, Jason Mantzoukas.
Oh, Mantzoukas plays like...
Raffy from The League.
Right. Yeah. He's there. He's basically Will Ferrell's character's best friend. He's a gambling addict whose marriage has fallen apart. And so he's the one who kind of encourages them to open this casino. And they bring in all these people from their neighborhood. And it's a who's who of sort of comedy that guys, like Michaela Watkins is in this, Cedric Yarbrough, Rob Hybel. Like, I mean, it's all these people that you've seen in be wonderfully funny in these weird offbeat kind of ways. And they come together in a movie that could have been like super predictable and very standard issue. And instead you get something that's dark, that's not afraid to have sort of a bleak worldview, that gets fairly graphic at a couple of points, and ends in a way that is unanticipated. And so I think there are a lot of people out there. I get why people have been reviewing it poorly, but I think they allowed their sort of pre-existing ideas of what the movie was going to be color what they saw. And I'm guilty of that often too, but this time I was able to kind of look past that and see a movie that I think is probably going to be much more appreciated maybe a little while down the road.
Cool. All right. And then the other one everybody's talking about is maybe one of the best movies of the year.
Oh man, Baby Driver. Like first of all, we'll start here. Go see this movie. Like 100%. It's got phenomenal performances. It's got outstanding action sequences, and it has one of the best movie soundtracks that I've heard in years. All of it comes together in this wonderful sort of synergy. Like everything sort of feeds off everything else. Like, you know, the action sequences are built around, you know, the music that's playing. And the music that's playing is built, springs from specific characteristics of various members of the ensemble. It's just everything's all the pieces like work and they mesh in this wonderful clockwork. And that's something that Edgar Wright, I think, is really good at. Edgar Wright wrote and directed the movie. He's best known for they call it the Cornetto trilogy. It's Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End. He also did Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And the TV show Spaced in the UK. And so he's this guy who has this wonderful sort of satiric sense when it comes to genre movies. And he's kind of made his bones on that. But one of the things that's easy to forget when you're dealing with a sharp satirist like that is the best way to satirize something is to really understand it and have a real connection to it. And so, like, he's basically making one of those movies, but he's playing it straight. And in doing so, he's created something that's really just absolutely magnetic to watch. It stars Ansel Elgort. He was in The Fault of Our Stars and The Fault in Our Stars and some stuff like that as the titular Baby Driver. And that is his name is Baby in the movie, although it's technically a nickname because he's the standard getaway driver for this guy named Doc, this gangster played by Kevin Spacey, who's fantastic, like just like at his scenery gnawing awesomest. he's great in this. But Doc basically assembles these teams of criminals to pull off these heists. So you've got one group that's the first group features. There's Buddy, who was played by John Hamm. There's another guy played by John Bernthal. So there's that crew, but they never use the exact same crew twice. So the next gig, it's those guys are gone. But here's Jamie Foxx playing a crazy guy named Bats, and so on. And with the shuffling, Baby wants out of the game. But he's still working on paying off a debt that he owes to Doc through circumstances that I'm not going to spoil here. But yeah, it's suffice to say he's not necessarily a willing participant in all this. But his whole deal is he's the best driver around. He's got this preternatural ability behind the wheel. But he also, as a kid, was in a bad accident and wound up with tinnitus, so like a ringing in the ears. And so to drown that out, to allow himself to concentrate, like he has to have music playing. And so he's got like basically like a dozen like iPods like filled with various music. And so he basically picks one and like puts together the soundtrack to accompany like his getaway driving. And so it's like everything's in rhythm. And that's another thing that Wright is great at, integrating music into the greater action of the stuff. But, you know, he, you know, Baby reaches the end, pays off his debt. But again, he's the best and Doc doesn't want to let him go. And so there's a complicating factor where he's going to do one last job, but he's also falling in love with this waitress at the local diner, played by Lily James. And it's just this wonderful, sweet love story that is that could have been cloying and awful, but instead is actually just very quite charming. And then interspersed with all that is just ridiculous stunt driving, like the sort of stuff that it's just like it's like fast and furious over the top style driving, but in a way that you like it doesn't feel as cartoonish as it absolutely mm-hmm. should. And so you put all these elements together and what you have is I would feel very comfortable saying that this is the best movie that I've seen this year so far.
Can't wait. Baby Driver, Alan Adams, with two good ones here, The House and Baby Driver on Pass the Popcorn. Thanks, Alan.
Hey, my pleasure.
We'll remind you again, our movie reviews brought to you by our friends at Bangor Mall Cinema 10, Stillwater Avenue in Bangor and Bangor Drive-In.